Welcome to Kairos Church, where we encourage one another daily to live and love like Jesus. We're so glad you're here. Join us each week as we dive into God's Word and explore what it means to live a life of faithful worship, devoted discipleship, authentic community, and intentional mission. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you in person. Our service is every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You're welcome here anytime. Hope you enjoy the service. While the kids are going downstairs, I just want to remind you really quick that Miriam highlighted these conversations that we're doing with Temple Sinai. And so we have been invited this month to come over to Temple Sinai, and Rabbi Brad is going to be leading that conversation. It's a little bit different than how we did it the first week or the first month. We learned a lot of lessons, and we asked Rabbi Brad to be the one to lead this next conversation. I'm really, really, really excited. Rabbi Brad is so amazing. He's so smart and so amazing. And I was like, listen, we have a lot of questions and I want to talk about the hard stuff. And he was like, do you want me to talk about if Israel is committing suicide? genocide in Gaza? And I was like, yeah, you should talk about that. And so just really hitting some of these hard questions and hard topics that are happening right now, and especially kind of in light of politically what's going on the last week or two with Israel and Gaza and Palestine. I'm really, really, really looking forward to this conversation. So you are invited to that. If you will let me know you're coming, and then we'll be at Temple Sinai at 7, and then we're gonna do a conversation again in November too. So either one of those, but I really would love for y'all to be there. There's a group of Kairos folks and a group of Temple Sinai folks, and we just spend some time in dialogue, getting to know one another, and then kind of like, this is hard, how do we talk about this stuff? So I'm really excited. So I wanna make sure that you know you are very invited. I would love for you to be there. I think that'll be a good time together. We are in a sermon series called Thine is the Glory, and we're looking at all kinds of different places where we see the glory of God and God, these big, amazing things that God does. And so this week we're going to look at a passage in Matthew 20. But I was thinking about this before we get to this passage. I was thinking about how complicated the world is, speaking of our conversation with Temple Sinai, how hard there are so many things in the world that are so hard to understand. I have no idea what is the purpose of a cockroach, for example, and why those exist. I have no idea why 6'7 throws people into a tizzy these days. It makes no sense to me. I don't understand why the Gamecocks can't figure out how to win a football game. I don't understand why the earth spins or what keeps it in place and doesn't just free fall through the universe. I don't understand how come some kids get to be born to parents who love them and do a good job taking care of them and some kids don't. I think the world is hard and complicated, and it's hard to understand this world, and we're in the world every day and still have a really hard time understanding it. And so when Jesus starts talking about the kingdom of heaven, that begins to get even more complicated. We can't figure out what that could possibly be. How do we understand it? And in chapter 19 of the book of Matthew, Jesus is trying to describe it, and he starts saying all of these weird things about what the kingdom of heaven will look like. He talks about how it's going to belong to the children. He tells this one guy who's been very faithful to the church, very faithful. He tells them unless he sells everything, he's never going to understand eternal life. Then he starts talking about a camel going through an eye of a needle. It's all this super weird stuff that he's saying in chapter 19. And the very last verse of chapter 19 in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says the most confusing piece of it all. And he says, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. This is a very hard sentence to understand. Even thousands of years later, I would offer that this doesn't make a ton of sense for how life works, and I think it's even harder to live into that. And so Jesus does what Jesus does when things are really confusing and the disciples are looking at him like, I don't know what that means. I don't know how to understand any of this. And Jesus tells a parable to try and explain it. So this chapter 20 that we're going into is the parable that Jesus is going to offer as a way to speak to this idea of the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And so as we go into chapter 20 to read the parable, I'm going to invite us to go to God in prayer. Holy God, we pray that you would indeed be present in this room. God, that the words that are read, the words that are spoken, the words that are heard, that they are your words. Lord, that anything that is not of you would simply fall away. God, help us to be attuned to the movement of the Spirit. Lord, that it would mold us and shape us into the people you desire for us to be. And may this encounter with you be so powerful, we cannot walk away unchanged. In your holy name we pray, amen. This is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, and I'll read the first 16 verses. I would invite you to listen now for the word of the Lord. Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out at 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' And so they went. When he went out again at about noon and about at 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received a denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' And again, 'So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last.'" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the parable then is about this landowner and the people that he hires all throughout the day to work in the vineyard. Now there's a couple of things that we need to remember as we're looking at this passage and we're understanding. The main one is that Jesus speaks in parables all the time. And when Jesus uses a parable, he's really intentional to make sure he's using everyday objects, things that the people that are hearing the parable will understand, things that they will relate with, that they'll have an end to the story so that they will understand. So as Jesus is telling the story then, he's using the value that the Jewish culture would have placed on manual labor. It was a high value that they would have had. These aren't oppressed people who are going to work. These are people who are doing the work of the day. Probably a lot of the people listening would have been day laborers. They would have had, it would have been a very common occupation. So people would have identified with the story that Jesus is telling. And so he says, the landowner goes into the marketplace and there's workers and they're standing idle. Be honest, when you read that sentence, you're like, classic. Classic. They were lazy. That's why they didn't have a job. They're standing around being lazy, and this is why they don't get to have a job. Except for that's not what the Greek actually tells us there. A more faithful reading of the Greek will tell us that they were standing there without work. And remember, when the landowner asks them why they don't have work, they say, because no one hired us. So we're here in this culture that values manual labor, and here's a whole group of people that would like to be able to do this important thing, and yet they haven't been able to be hired. They could only imagine what that must have felt like, standing there all day long, waiting on someone to pick you, waiting on someone to give you the opportunity to fulfill who you feel like you're meant to be, waiting on someone to enable you to be able to provide for your family, waiting on someone to pick you so that you can fully live into this life that you feel called to live. Scripture doesn't tell us if there was any sort of shame or embarrassment or disappointment or weariness, but it is clear that standing there all day with no work is not what they wanted. I wonder how often we have felt that need or desire to live into something that feels important. We want to fulfill a calling. We want to be able to provide in a meaningful way. We want to be significant. We want to be proud of who we've been able to be for ourselves, for our family, for the world. So much of our understanding of who we are and if we're successful in life is all rolled up into knowing that we've been able to be meaningful, to produce something that's important. So when we think about it that way, I think that it's easy to see in this parable that standing there all day long, not being significant, was a lot harder than the work that was being done in the vineyard. This is the gift then that the landowner gave them. This is the gift of the landowner who invited them to live into purpose, to honor their gifts, to honor their identity and who they long to be, that they would get to be significant. It was a gift that the landowner gave them. And what's more, and so important for us to notice in the scripture, is that every time the landowner went to hire one of these folks to work, every time he agrees that he will pay them what is right, each time that the landowner calls them, he tells them not only that he's choosing them, that they're going to get to live into this opportunity to do meaningful work, but assures them they will be paid what is right, is the word scripture uses. We read the story then and we're like, yes, this makes sense. This obviously is how the kingdom of heaven is going to work, that God is going to find people and help them to feel meaningful and significant. Yes, all of this is making sense. Until we get to the twist in the story. It's time to pay the workers. And I don't know if you remember noticing or not, but the landowner, he tells the manager to go and pay them. And he tells the manager to pay the last one to arrive first. Seems awfully specific that we're going to pay them in this very certain order. And it's because as Jesus is telling the parable, remember the parable is explaining to them this whole concept of that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And so Jesus adds that detail in because he wants to say, listen, this is about to be the point. This is the part where I'm going to explain to you why it's so important that the first is last and the last is first. Pay attention to what comes next. And what comes next is that the manager pays them, all of them, the same amount. The Bible says that they grumbled. Of course, they grumbled. They don't like this last shall be first and first shall be last. Then what does this mean? Why would it work this way? Why is the landowner doing this? What is this trying to teach us about who God is and who the kingdom of heaven is? Then, do you remember that part? That they were upset that someone else would be considered as significant as they are. They grumble like the people, the Hebrews who were in the wilderness. And remember in the wilderness then that God gave them manna as a reminder that it is God who sustains. It is God who provides. It is God who gives significance. And so again, here, these people who are so desperate to be important in and of themselves, they are reminded that it is God who gives and sustains and promises to pay what is right. The parable reminds us of Jesus's view that all are created in the image of God, that all are worthy to be chosen, that all are worthy to live into this calling and this identity, that everyone should get to know the sustaining nurture of a God who feeds manna in the wilderness and calls us to purpose in idleness. The workers in the parable are so concerned with thinking in terms of what is fair. They're so focused on what they've done and what they want and how they want their own selves to be treated. But the landowner is clear from the start. He isn't focused on what is fair. He was focused on what is right. And what is right was being generous. We see the landowner over and over again in the parable being generous. The landowner choosing not to focus on the work that he needed done in the vineyard. The landowner not focusing on what time that he was paying everybody, but instead focused on paying what is right. Over and over again, we see him demonstrating this generosity. And that is the thing when we think about the last shall be first and the first shall be last. That is the thing about living into the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't work how we think it's going to work. Because instead of God being consumed with what is fair, we see that God is intent on being generous. I want to be clear. As we live into the kingdom of heaven, that is our call too. Our call is to live into being generous so that people, all people, would get to know what it means to be significant, that all people would get to know what it means to be chosen and cared for and fed and safe. And we're committed to that here at Kairos. That's an important piece of who we are as people of God, as a faithful people who live into the community, the kingdom of heaven. It's why we're thoughtful about who we work with when we think about our mission ministry partners. And we think about our friends in Clarkston at Friends of Refugees. Friends of Refugees is a faith-based organization who's helping refugees navigate their journey and creating new and abundant life in America. They teach folks how to shop in American grocery stores, how to navigate registering their children for school. They teach them what it looks like to live into their calling, to feel significant, to be able to provide for their families, to do meaningful work. And this year, because you have been so committed to being generous at Kairos, because you continue to give to the Kairos operating budget that Mark was telling us about earlier, because you continue to be intent on being generous, we have been able to offer them a chunk of funding. We've been able to give them $10,000 this year. We've been able to host them for educational events. We have been able to be committed to making sure they are doing this work of helping people live into their significant work. We see this in our work with the Community Assistance Center. The CAC provides assistance for neighbors to prevent homelessness and food insecurities. We've also been able to help with funding at the CAC. But my favorite part of our relationship with the CAC is that this past June, a summer month when lots of people are on vacation, we still stepped up and committed to being a congregation of the month for the month of June. And because of your generosity, because you keep giving to the operating fund at Kairos, because you showed up with cans and cans of food, because the kids came for Camp Kairos and sorted the food and marked out the barcodes and got it all ready for the food pantry there, you all provided 2,000 pounds of food just in that one month. It's literally a ton of food. Because we are committed to being generous. We are committed to living into this life that we are called to live in with the kingdom of heaven. I am so grateful to do this life of faith with you as together we live into that kingdom of heaven generosity. I am grateful that we are committed to being intent on being generous. That is what we do here at Kairos, and that's why Mark was so clear about what it means for us to commit to the operating budget at Kairos. Because your generosity shares with our neighbors what it means to be called into significant work. It demonstrates to others the extravagant generosity that has been demonstrated to us by God. And the really cool thing, if you haven't been around here very long, the very cool thing is that a long time ago, the people at Kairos made a commitment that 10% of the income that comes in, that you give, 10% of it goes straight out the door to our mission ministry partners. And then on top of that are the other things that we do. We are committed to being generous with our extra gifts, with our operating budget, over and over again, making sure that we are living into the kingdom of heaven in all that we do. And so our call is to stay committed to that. This is why there is a budget for us to figure these things out. This is why we're like, hey, make sure you scan the QR code and put in your commitment for next year, because we know that this is part of how God is calling us to live out our lives. And we're going to do that, and we're going to do it faithfully. Friends, when we live as people of the kingdom, we're not working on figuring out what's fair, but we are rejoicing in being generous. We know that everything that we have that is significant in our lives, our breath, our families, our church, our communities, our purpose, all of that comes from the hand of a God who is endlessly generous. And so when we believe that, when we commit to that, gratitude becomes our way of life, and we give, we serve, we love, because we know that we have experienced God's very favor. So friends, may we go into the world this week intent on being generous, so that through us, others might glimpse the goodness and the abundance of the kingdom of heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen.